Today on the show, I'm on a holiday in Japan having the time of my life relaxing and walking through Tokyo, but I'm going to pretend I'm here to hang out with you. Come on, let's do it on 20th Century Boy, the show that isn't available right now, so please leave a message after the beep. Beep. Welcome to 20th Century Boy, Watashi no Mike desu, and this is the inside of my mind. Oh, man, I'm pre-recording a few episodes, as you probably know if you're a regular listener. If you're not, cool. This is not going to be the usual style of the podcast. It's going to be a little bit more listener question based, and I'll be answering some of your questions because... Yeah, when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this the day it came out, I'm in Tokyo. I'm 10 hours by air away from Melbourne. I'm not bringing my podcast stuff. I'm enjoying my holiday, right? So I'm there, but I still want to pretend I'm here so we can hang out in this weekly one-sided conversation that we have together, right? So that's why I'm pre-recording this podcast, so there's some content for you. Welcome to 20th Century Boy, by the way. My name is Radio Mike, of course, and this is 20th Century Boy, a podcast by me, Radio Mike. The conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. That's the slogan of the show, deal with it. But welcome if you're new, welcome back if you're old. It's great. Great to be here. Support the show anytime, patreon.com/radiomike. It would be awesome to have a few new Patreons up there. Just support the show. If you listen every week, if you get something out of my content, whether it's here on the pod, even Harry Potter and the Boys, my other podcast, or my YouTube channel, or you watch my TikToks, whatever, it would be awesome to, yeah, just have your support. Even a dollar a month can help a lot. But yeah, I'm in Tokyo, but first, I don't know why this came to my mind. And this is just a completely random story that I just thought of randomly from my past that I thought of just before I hit record, and then I'm like, oh, I should tell that story on the podcast. But there's no actual, like, genuine reason for me to tell it. So I'm just going to tell this story because I think it's funny, which is kind of the conceit of the podcast. It's just stuff that I think is funny. So I don't know. I don't know why or how this came into my head, but like, and this story also contains some coarse language, which you should sometimes expect from this pod anyway. But this, you know, if this is the first episode of the pod you're listening to, you're going to be like, what the fuck is this podcast all about? Like, why is this guy talking about some story that happened when he was like in year 11 at school? But like, I'm just doing it because I just have to get it off my chest. You know, when like a memory from your past just comes up and you're like, that was so funny. So when I was at high school, obviously it's well publicized that I had a choir scholarship to my school. So basically I got like the Catholic Church of Victoria paid for half of my school fees for me in exchange for me singing in the choir at St. Patrick's Cathedral. You know, and that's my life. And I always say, like, you know, we have to rehearse like three times a week, on Friday afternoons after school, Thursday evening, Sunday morning, then we had to sing at the mass. It was such a weird life I lived. I was going to say it was cult-like, but I guess the Catholic Church is kind of the biggest cult ever. Anyway, this is all kind of just context for the story, which is basically just one thing that happened and then one funny thing that an adult said. So I can't remember what it was, but like the guy who was in charge of the choir, like the choir director, he was not associated with the school I went to, but he looked after the choir and the music at the cathedral. And like, you've got to please keep listening to this because it's really funny. So we had like our opening school year mass, you know, anyone not Catholic isn't going to get this, but obviously I'm a lapsed Catholic, but we had our opening school mass and we were missing a music stand and, you know, the whole school was there, thousands of kids. And, because we were in the choir, we knew where, like, this choir conductor's music stand was. So we're like, oh, we'll just borrow that. And T-Money, who is an old friend of the show, if you've been listening to the show from the start, T-Money went to get that music stand and gave it to like the kid in the orchestra who was playing to give him that music stand. And then I guess T-Money like forgot to take it back. And so that music stand just went missing, right? And then essentially from there, we had choir rehearsal that night. And the director of the choir came in and notices his music stand is missing. To which either me or T-Money goes, oh yeah, I think the school... Like we don't say it was like... T-Money doesn't say it was me, I took the music stand and then forgot to bring it back. We're just like, oh, I think the school came in and like took the music stand and stuff. Anyway, now I'm realizing this build up to this story probably isn't that good, but who cares? Here we are. Then like the choir director guy just walked out of the room, strutted out. And then my other friend, James, who was in the choir, overheard him talking about the school. And this is the part that makes me laugh. It might not make you laugh, but all he heard was him just going, fuck that school, fuck them, I want to ring them. I don't know why I find it so funny, but we all found it hysterical. It's like, fuck that school, fuck them, I want to ring them. Like ringing the school is like the worst thing you could possibly, I want to ring them. I won't, but I want to ring them, fuck them, fuck that school. I don't know why I find that so funny, but it's a story that just, I don't know. Sometimes there's stuff on this show where I'm like, I just have to tell this story. And I'd love for anyone who writes into the show to creatively use, fuck that school, fuck them, I want to ring them. I would love to say that. Anyway, all that aside, I'm in Tokyo. And I did solicit across all my socials and the podcast Discord, which you're welcome to join, by the way. There's lots of people in there chatting every day. I put out for questions for the Q&A for the next couple episodes because I'll be away. And one that kind of went hand in hand with this one was from Radio J-Lo on Discord, thank you, who just said, 24 hours in Tokyo, what are you doing? And I thought this was interesting. And I thought it was just a good way to talk about like my experience traveling to Japan and everything like that, just to sort of set the scene, because this will be my fourth time to Japan. And basically, first of all, if it's not obvious to you already, like I'm a huge weeb, like I'm a huge nerd, geek, like all of the stereotypes of someone being a nerd and a geek is me. Like, you all know that. And I love Japanese culture. I always have. I grew up on it. I love the games. I just love all of that nerdy stuff out of Japan. Always have. And I had only, when I was a kid, like, because we were pretty, like, we didn't have heaps of money. The only time we ever went overseas when I was a kid was to Bali when I was 6 years old, which, like, I barely remember. And Bali is like classic Australian tourist destination. But basically I always was really scared of traveling. I was always very afraid of going overseas. I don't know why. It was just an anxiety thing with going overseas. I got really in my head about it and I never did it. And kind of got to this point where like, my dad was like, you should go traveling. Like, do you want to go somewhere? And I was like, oh, I've always wanted to go to Japan, because I did. And my dad was like, great, let's go to Japan. And my dad took me to Japan, which when I was about 21. And that was sort of the first time I'd ever really been out of Australia, pretty much Melbourne, for my whole life, right? I was probably 21 or 22. And it was just so incredible. It was just the most eye-opening experience in my life. And I didn't know what to expect. I was scared of flying. I get quite anxious about flying, all of that. All of travel just makes me anxious. But being with my dad that first time really helped me. And my dad just said, just make a list of stuff you want to do and we'll do it. We'll just spend 10 days there and we'll just be in Japan. And just absolutely loved every part of it. And you know, we went to Disneyland, we went to Universal Studios. That was the first time I'd ever done stuff like that. I'd always heard of people traveling to, you know, and going to Disneyland and doing all this cool stuff. And I just never felt like that was for me because of my anxiety. And from there, you know, I came back. I love Japanese food as well, by the way. I came back from Japan with my dad. And then one of my good friends who I lived with for a while, Dan, he was like, oh, I really want to go to Japan. And I was like, why don't we go? Because I loved it so much. I was like, I want to go back. So then we asked two other mates, T Money, who featured in that story, and Pricey. And we went on a 3-week kind of boys trip to Japan after we all finished uni, which was just, again, one of those once in a lifetime experiences when you're all like 22 years old, you're overseas together, and it's like you're doing it on a budget. Like, we were staying in Airbnbs with like two double beds and all sharing and like doing everything really cheap. But it's like, it is those kinds of experiences that are once in a lifetime travel experiences. And I look back on that 3-week trip where we like went all through Japan, we skied in Hakuba, we drank a lot, like we were like really enjoying like being overseas and getting drunk and shit like that. And you know, it's like, you'll never do that again. That's a once in a lifetime thing. And it was so good. And I just loved it. Like, I really like everything about it. And I love it as a country. So from there, I we did that trip. It was awesome. You know, went to Hiroshima, Osaka, Kyoto, Tokyo, Nara, Hakuba, all of these places. Drank a lot, did a lot of extremely drunk karaoke, did a lot of really stupid shit, you know, got lost a lot. I think I talked on this podcast once about that trip where we nearly got abducted by this Japanese cult near Mount Fuji, which was really weird. I should tell that story again sometime. But then essentially, like, about a year and a half later, I was working in radio. I was pretty depressed at this point. I can't really remember why. I just felt really lost. I didn't know where my career was heading. It was definitely before I started this podcast, and it was like maybe 18 months after that trip. And I just had hit a road, hit a wall. I didn't know what I was doing. And I know the question was 24 hours in Tokyo, what are you doing? But this is kind of more philosophical stuff that I want to talk about. Didn't know what I was doing. Felt really lost. I was... again, extremely depressed. I had a massive mental health breakdown that year. And then I was like, all right, I need to prove to myself that I can do stuff on my own. Because I never felt confident about like doing stuff on my own, which I think was one of the big anxieties of me traveling anywhere. Like, not just thinking I'm not capable and that, like, you know, that I'm, you know, all of those thoughts that a lot of people have, right? And so then I was like, I'm going to go travel overseas by myself. And honestly, like, because I was just so anxious about it, I just wanted to go somewhere for like 10 days that I'd been before and knew. And so I went to Japan again and I just did a solo trip. I stayed in hostels. One of my friends at the time was working and living in Fukuoka, which is on the South Island of Japan. So we caught up and hung out for a few days, and then I just spent it mainly in Tokyo. And I just loved being in Tokyo and walking around and getting, you know, rice and ramen and food and sushi and everything like that. And I went to a few of the onsen where I like stripped down naked and went into the public baths and stuff, which I look back now and I'm like, I can't believe I did that. Like, that, I don't know why, but I wouldn't do that now. But basically, it's a big comfort place for me. And like, some people like sometimes make fun of me for like going there, but it's just like, it's just what I like. Like, this is what I want to do, right? Like, my parents always go to Thailand and Bali. Like, that's their like go-to places. And I'm like, why don't you go somewhere new? But then I'm like, but they like it there and they know it and they know they're going to have an experience they like. So why am I so like, why do I care? Just let people do what they want to do. So then, after we got back from Europe last year, we were like, oh, like, we just loved, me and Claire, we were just like, you know, we work a lot. We just want to sometimes be able to take a break from work and go and like just relax and explore the world. And that's what I found traveling is all about, right? Getting out of your main everyday life and just going and seeing the world and doing something new. And I can't wait to, she's never been to Japan, so I can't wait to go with her and just experience it with her for the first time. And I'm really excited about that. And yeah, we're doing a bunch of stuff I've done before, but all new to her, and a bunch of stuff that we've, you know, I've never done before. I'm just like so happy that it's happening. But, and I just like, yeah, we want to travel more. We're thinking about, like, I turn 30 at the end of the year and you're like, and we're like, oh, maybe we do a trip for that. But like, obviously it's not locked in. But yeah, once we got back from Europe, I was like, I want to go back to Japan. She was like, yeah, great. And we just booked it, right? So back to the question, that's just sort of like my experience with Japan. Oh, the one thing was the first day I got to Japan with my dad that night, this was a big moment for me. And I reckon everyone has one of these moments, particularly maybe if you're born in Australia, because it's so far away from a lot of the rest of the world. But we went to the Tokyo Tower, which is like an observation tower that looks like the Eiffel Tower, but red, like exactly the same design of a tower, except red. And there's a few observation sort of spots, you know, in Japan, but we just went to the Tokyo Tower because I knew it. And it was nighttime and I went up and I looked out from this observation tower and it was just skyscrapers and endless lights. In a way that I'd never seen before. And I remember thinking at that time, it was the first time I'd been overseas as an adult. And I just remember thinking, oh, wow, like the world is way bigger than I thought it was. Like the world is massive and I'm such a small part of it. And even like, you know, even like in Europe, I had similar moments where like the culture is so different and everything like that, right? And so, yeah, going back to that question, and that's why I always will love it. And I love I don't have to justify that I like going there, but sometimes it feels like people want me to. But back to the question. Okay, so you've got 24 hours in Tokyo. What are you going to do? There's just way too much. There is way too much stuff to do in 24 hours. But I don't know. Like if you had to go, you get there and you arrive at, okay, you've got 24 hours. So say you're starting the day at 9 a.m., you know, from a hotel. You've got to see the Shibuya Scramble Crossing at nighttime, I reckon, on a busy day, which is like the busiest pedestrian crossing area in the world. It's sort of like Times Square in New York. It's just so crazy. Get some drinks in the Golden Guy section of Japan. Go to like Akihabara and like walk and see all the shops there. There is so much stuff to do. Go to the Meiji Shrine, like in the city, which is like, the thing about Japan is like, it's so urban and like modern and skyscrapers and tall buildings everywhere. But then in the middle of the city, there's just an ancient temple. And it's like such an old civilization, but such a modern civilization. Go and get some ramen or some don or something like that. Maybe get some Maccas because I like to have Maccas in every city that I am. Go to an arcade and play some games. You can't do it all in 24 hours. That absolutely sucks. Absolutely. That's not enough time. Disneyland, Disney Sea, if you're into that kind of thing. Go to Mount Fuji. Like all this stuff. All this stuff. So I'm doing a bunch of that stuff on my trip, but I'm going for more than 24 hours, obviously. Let's keep going with listener questions, which I really appreciate everyone who sent them in. Some were similar in topic, so I kind of combined them into one thing. Of course, still coming off the back of my appearance on Hard Quiz.
All right, let's play. Hard!
Had two questions. One from Radio Espen and one from Radio Bella. Espen said, Hard Quiz requires a secondary specialty topic when you apply. What was yours? And Bella said, advice for anyone wanting to go on Hard Quiz. So I'll mainly focus on Espen's question because there is an interesting story with it. So he's right. When you apply, or they're right, when you apply for Hard Quiz, the show I was on, you have a specialty subject, but they also ask you if you had to do another specialty subject, what would you choose? Now, the reason they do that, from what I could gather and what I think, it's not actually because they're going to ask you necessarily to do a different topic. I think it's because they want to know other stuff that you know a lot about. So they don't pair you on the show with someone that has a topic that you know a lot about, right? Because you can steal answers and get more points. So I think they do that so they can make sure you don't have a topic in your secondary topics that someone else is going to be on your episode, okay? And like, That's the thing. Everyone on my episode, there was one person who had Vegemite, one person who had Farlap, and one person who had LeBron James, which I'm not an expert on any of those things. And so the ones that I put will probably not be a massive surprise to people, but I'm pretty sure from memory, and I filled the form out so long ago, but I'm pretty sure I did Blink-182 and Green Day. Like, you had to put two, I think, and I put Blink-182 and Green Day, which are definitely the two things I reckon. I think of all the things, like, the topics I could do, yeah, like Pikachu, Pokemon, Super Smash Brothers, Blink-182, Green Day, maybe Kingdom Hearts, which is another game series that I like playing. So, yeah, lots of those topics there. But this is the interesting thing. In the audition, and maybe this goes to Bella's question about advice for wanting to go on Hard Quiz. So there's a few rounds of auditions, and each audition sort of narrows it down to like less and less people. Like the first audition has like 40 people, and then the next one there's like 10, and then you just do a one-on-one, right? So I did in my sort of smaller audition with like 10 people, and you had to talk about your topic in front of everyone. That was like the audition. Like, I guess it's like, can this person actually speak and perform on TV to a proper level? And so you had to talk about and introduce your topic to the group. So I did mine for Super Smash Bros. And everyone went round one by one. And some people had the weirdest topics. Like, you know, I can't even remember. Some were just so specific and like oddly specific that I'm like, how do you even know about that? But anyway, whatever. Ended up in that audition, somebody came on and said their special topic was Blink-182. And I remember hearing this person talking about Blink-182. And I was just like, I honestly remember thinking, as a massive fan of Blink-182, which if you follow my stuff, you'll know, I remember being like, I don't think you know that much about Blink-182. It sounds like maybe you like vaguely liked them as a kid and now you think you're an expert. But like, from what they were saying, I was like, I definitely know way more about Blink-182 than you. And obviously I didn't get paired with them and I haven't seen them on the show. So I don't know if they got through or not, but it was really interesting. As far as advice for just getting on the show, I don't know. I think generally speaking, like I think a lot of people apply to be on that show. I just tried to be myself. Like I just tried to be authentic to who I am and not pre-plan anything or prepare anything like that. I was just trying to be myself and maybe that shone through. I don't think you need to overly prepare anything though. I think just if you want to go on one of these shows, like they're looking for personality, particularly Hard Quiz is on the ABC, which is a non-commercial network here in Australia. But if you want to be on like a game show like Deal or No Deal or The Chase, I reckon, like particularly The Chase, I reckon they'll take pretty much anyone. Deal or No Deal, they're just looking for big, loud, exuberant people that they can put on the ads and market. That's how you get on. Like, I think Hard Quiz is a bit different because you want to be nerdy and geeky, but that's kind of the ethos of that show. But I don't know, just be yourself, I reckon. Okay, next question came in from Radio May. And I thought about whether I should do this or not, but I am going to do it because fuck it, it's my podcast. And it's also kind of linked to Japan. So, you know, if you're new to this pod, we talk about the weird and wacky world of stuff that I like and talk about. Like, the conceit of this pod, right, was always that I wanted to, one, get better at talking about stuff, but two, I just wanted a space to talk about stuff that I was into or stuff that I thought. Hence the slogan, the conversations you wish you were having. So May wrote in and they said, Mike, when are you going to talk about Digimon more on your podcast? Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions. Funnily enough, I think like the in the first like two episodes of this podcast, I talked about the children's cartoon series Digimon a fair bit, and I haven't really talked about it much since. So I'm just doing it, right? Because there's actually some interesting stuff here that's related, okay? So I implore you, keep listening to this because I think it'll be interesting to you for this. Digimon, though, and it obviously originated as like the little Tamagotchi toys. That's the genesis of that franchise. And then they adapted it into an anime in Japan that got localized to Australia. And I have a few things about this, right? Because I for whatever reason, it always stuck with me. And even now I'm like, it's just always a show that I would rewatch and thought was cool. And I first saw it here in Australia. It was on before school when I was about 6 or 7 years old in grade 1 or 2. And it was on a show called Cheese TV, which Cheese TV was like the morning kids programming on Channel 10 in Australia. And then it would eventually become Toasted TV. I don't know what prompted that change, but it went from Cheese TV to Toasted TV. And they just play cartoons and kids shows. And I remember like Digimon came on for the first time and Pokemon was already massive. And then there was Digimon, which was like destined to get kids like on board because of its loose similarities to Pokemon. And I just remember as a kid being enamored by it. Like I was like, this is fucking the best show I've ever seen in my entire life. Like it was just the coolest thing ever as a kid and I loved it. And I watched the whole first season, you know, which must have gone for like a year. And then I watched the whole second season, which was a continuation of the first. And then the third season started maybe when I was in like grade 2 or 3. And that was a bit of a shift, which I'll talk about later. So I kind of stopped watching it or caring about it and didn't think about it for a long time. Here's where it gets interesting, because eventually it must have been 2007-ish when I was like 12 or 13, year 7 at high school. And this is where I think it's interesting. YouTube was very new. YouTube was not what it is now. And I always think if you're a Gen Zer, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, you guys don't get it, but there was a time when I was a kid and I grew up in this time, and I think maybe people born in the 2000s didn't quite have this, but it was like, when you saw you didn't seek out stuff to watch. You just watched what was served to you on TV, because there was no other, before YouTube and the internet, like when I was a kid, the internet wasn't that big. And before, like, you just watch what was on TV. Whatever the guy at Channel 10 who was programming Cheese TV, whatever he decided you should watch, that's what you watched. And things are obviously way different now, for better or worse. I think there's pluses and minuses, but you just watched whatever was served to you, whatever was advertised to you. There was no exploration. And because of that, I think you just were more likely to stick with stuff and get into stuff. There weren't that many options, particularly for kids. YouTube came in and it was like this, it wasn't what it is now. It was just like this Wild West where people would upload stuff. I don't think there was heaps of regulation. So I remember being in year 7 at school, and I don't know how this happened. I don't know if I actively searched for it or if it just popped up, but I found my way onto YouTube and it just said Digimon episode 1, like full episode YouTube. And I was like, oh, I used to love that show. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna click this video and watch it. And sure enough, like someone had uploaded the first episode of the show. And I was like, oh, I remember this. And it was, you know, 6 years after I saw it on TV, which as a kid is a lot of time. So it was like I was rediscovering, and I remember being like, wow, I forgot all about this. And I just binged the entire show again as a 13-year-old and loved it again. And I remember sort of, you know, the internet was so bad, it would like buffer for ages before you could even watch it. So I remember I used to queue up like 3 or 4 episodes so they could all load at the same time. And hopefully by the time I'd finished one episode, the next one was ready to watch. It was just, it was such a different time. And now obviously there's so many different facets of entertainment. You can seek out your own content. You can find stuff that you want to watch. And the positive about that is there's more exploration and more niche things can open up for certain communities, and fame and content becomes localized to people who are into specific things, which is not a bad thing. That's the good part about it. The bad part, I think, is, and I talked about this a few weeks ago when I was talking about Malcolm in the Middle and how that show reminds me of that era of just like being bored and just like watching whatever's on TV. And yeah, I think there's, you know, there's positives and negatives. Anyway, so I watched the whole season one, and that first season of Digimon will always have this huge part in my heart because, you know, it's just about these kids. They go to this other world, the digital world, and they get these, you know, monster partners, and they can like digivolve or evolve into other things. The main guy is Agumon. The main monster is Agumon. And the theme song was just so epic as well. And yeah, each episode, it had like a story arc, character development. That's why I loved it so much. And they would, yeah, each episode they would like get a new evolution.
Agumon, digivolve to...
You just like, it was just awesome. You're like, oh, what are they going to digivolve into? Like, what's the next form going to be? It was epic. Okay. Anyway, that season finished, and then they did another season, season two, which was just called, which was just a follow up. There were a few new Digimon, and now they could armor digivolve, which was like a new form of evolution they could do, which was epic. And, then they did season three, which was called Digimon Tamers. And it was like a complete reboot. None of the original characters were in it. It was all new characters. And it was set in the real world where the original season was a TV show in this world, right? So these three kids get their Digimon partners and they go and fight. And I ended up watching all of them on YouTube, like in year seven. Like that's what I would do on my school holidays. But like at the time, it didn't gel with me. The next season, season four, was called Digimon Frontier. And this one, like, everyone seems to hate. I actually really remember liking it when I watched it. But instead of the kids having Digimon partners, they actually become Digimon. They spirit evolve. That's what they call it. And I really liked it. I thought it was really cool. But people didn't like that there weren't partners anymore, that they actually become the Digimon. That put a lot of people off the series. Then they did another one called Digimon Savers, and that was season five. And that was like they tried to make it more adult, I guess, and like a little bit more violent. And they brought back Agumon, the original. Anyway, you guys don't care about this. It was good. Then I kind of dropped off it. Didn't watch the rest of the series. I think there's like seven or eight now. But then in like 2017, they did this thing called Digimon Adventure Tri. So it was the follow-up to season two, which was like the last one of that original continuity. And I remember being like, oh my God, this is the most exciting thing in my life. And I got well back into it. And then I was kind of disappointed by that. Then they did this movie called Last Evolution, which was the final story of like the original characters. And I watched it, bawling my eyes out because it was really sad. Not going to spoil it, bawling my eyes out. And, you know, I think as a TV show, it always was something really special to me. And I always wonder, like, if YouTube didn't exist, I probably never would have rediscovered it and thought it was cool. But then, like, during high school, I would rewatch it all the time. And I remember being, like, really ashamed that I liked it. But now I'm like, I don't care. I just think it's cool. Like, going back to that thing of like, you know, you shouldn't really judge people for what they're into. I just think it's stupid to do that. But anyway, those are my thoughts on Digimon. May, who sent that question in, actually does a Digimon themed podcast, which you can check out. It's called Lost in Translation Mon. It's a very interesting pod. Okay. When I did the bulk recorded episodes when I was in Europe, I did a segment called Crazy Historical Facts, and I want to bring that back for these because they're funny and interesting, but I lost the original opening theme to it, so I've had to create a new one. So please get ready for this.
Crazy Historical Facts!
When I research like stories for this, because basically this segment was just like stuff that happened in history that you just like read and you're like, I can't believe that happened. This one just completely blew my mind. Like, this is one of the most absurd stories I've ever heard in my life. And it's just a Wikipedia article that just says Jack, okay? And then in brackets, baboon. But it's not going where you think it's going. This is remarkable. Just like, let's just unpack this, okay? So here's this crazy historical fact about Jack the baboon. I'm just going to read it verbatim. Jack died in 1890, not to be confused with Jack the monkey. Okay, who's that? Who's Jack the monkey? Why are there two famous Jacks called monkey? Oh, Jack the monkey is the monkey in Pirates of the Caribbean, apparently. Anyway, we got to get back to Jack Baboon. Jack was the name of a baboon who was an assistant to a disabled railway signalman, James White, in South Africa. All sounds pretty normal at first. All sounds, you know, pretty standard stuff. Okay, this guy had a disability and he had an assistant in the form of a baboon. Okay, sure. But get this. This is just crazy. Keep going. Jack was the pet and assistant of double leg amputee signalman James Wide, who worked for the Cape Town Port Elizabeth Railway Service. James Wide had been known for jumping between rail cars until an accident where he fell and lost both of his legs at the knee. So he has two metal knees, but he also metal legs, but he also uses a wheelchair. To assist in performing his duties, Wide purchased Jack in 1881 and trained him to push his wheelchair and to operate the railway signals under supervision. So he's trained this baboon to operate the railway signaling, which I guess back then was manual. Now I think it's automatic, but back then it must have been manual. And, you know, you press a button, it lowers the railway. So people don't, I think that's what it is, right? Now, here's the weird part. Here's the weirdest part. An official investigation was initiated after someone reported that a baboon was observed changing railway signals near Port Elizabeth. And then it turned out that Jack the baboon, well James Wide, had essentially just trained Jack the baboon to do his job and stopped doing his job and just sent the baboon to do it. So, and then get this. After initial skepticism, i.e. they were skeptical about a monkey doing the job of a human, after initial skepticism, the railway decided to officially employ Jack once his job competency was verified. He was paid 20 cents a day and half a bottle of beer each week. Half a bottle. And then this is the kicker. It is widely reported that in his 9 years of employment with the railway company, Jack never made a single mistake. So let's step back. Whoa, let's just step back for 1 second, okay? So Jack the baboon, not to be confused with Jack the monkey, is purchased by this guy with a disability who to be his like assistant in mobility and other stuff. And then suddenly Jack the baboon is doing the job of the railway. So imagine you get a pet dog and you bring it to work, and then like 2 weeks later, you've just got your dog doing your job, and everyone's like, oh, I don't know about this dog. I don't know. Oh, actually, he's pretty good. We should hire him. So this monkey is just doing this man's job. It makes no sense. Monkeys cannot do men's jobs. No, apparently they can, because Jack got paid 20 cents a day and half a bottle of beer. Absolutely. Like, those are the Wikipedia articles you read, and you're just like, this has to be a joke. Like, this must be a joke Wikipedia article, but it's not. That is a true story. Jack the baboon died of tuberculosis in 1890. His skull is in the collection of the Albany Museum in Grahamstown. It is absurd. Like, there's references in this article, sources. It's just absurd that, like, imagine you're like driving and the railway line comes down and you just look in and it's just a baboon doing it. That is next level weird. Okay, and that's another edition of
Crazy Historical Facts.
I'd actually love to keep doing Crazy Historical Facts. If you see something weird online that could be one, definitely send it to me because I'd love to keep doing them. Let's finish with one of these.
The plug.
Hey, I'm having such a good time, I assume, in Japan. Where am I at the moment? Let's plug where I actually am. Japan, 25th of April. Okay, today we were at Tokyo Disney Sea, which is one of the Disney parks there. Tomorrow we're heading to Kyoto. Awesome. This is so exciting for me. The plug-wise, Harry Potter and the Boys, me and Sam recorded a bunch of episodes together, so they are currently rolling out as normal. You can read my blog, radiomike.substack.com. There should be a new blog entry up every fortnight, so there should be one, not this week, but probably next week. TikTok, YouTube, watch some of the YouTube videos, go and explore my content, Radio Mike on Instagram, Radio Mike on TikTok, wherever. You know I'm just everywhere online, okay? Hey, I really enjoyed doing this. I'm going to pre-record two more, so there's three pre-recs and then we'll be back to live programming. Arigato gozaimasu. Thank you so much for listening. My name's been Radio Mike and this podcast has been The Inside of My Mind. I'll catch you next week for another pre-rec. See you later. I'm not afraid to be alone.